time talking to me this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Kind of an open-ended question. Let me begin then just by talking a bit about my own method, which isn't really a method. I'm not a method kind of person. But, you know, just basically what I do, and then we can take it from there and talk about whether or how that applies to other people. And my own method is to do something every day related to the field, which is why I write my newsletter. My newsletter isn't about publicity. It isn't about making money. I don't make money off my newsletter. I lose money. But it's about having this discipline of reading in the field every day, staying up to date, and then writing, and most importantly, writing succinctly about the field every day. And this is a reflection of what I've often jokingly called the Downs theory. It's not a theory and it's not mine, but it's fun to say it, where I say teaching is modeling and demonstrating, and learning is practice and reflection. And so when I'm self-studying, for lack of a better word, what I'm really doing is I'm practicing and I'm reflecting on that practice. And to me, it's the practice that is core. Not just, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, but doing the same thing reflectively with an eye to how it could be done better, how it's working, looking at other models and examples and comparing, you know, what I've done to that, etc. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the core of it. I could talk about, you know, and we have in the past with our theory of connectivism, I could talk about why I think that works. But when we're talking about the actual practice of learning, the actual discipline of learning, that to me is the core of it.
Right. So my question is how do I survey all the literature on how people learn, or like, how do I understand? Because I've obviously done a lot of online research, and I found a number of interesting books. I mean, like, mm-hmm. A popular book these days, like Making a Stick. There's a number of other books on, like, you know, how you can use MOOC. There's a number of books on. Yeah. How classroom discussions are more effective than lectures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole corpus of stuff out there.
Yeah.
But I find that, like, the conversations between them are like relatively kind of tenuous. There's like a drive towards scientific analysis, and scientific analysis is great, but it's also limited in the scope of what it can actually address.
Yeah.
It's starting to become very cognitively focused, which once again is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, how do you actually define your own goals? How do you, how do you best use resources? Like, there's some books that are just a waste of time because they're so fluffy, and there's some books that are better because they're a little more substantial.
Yeah.
So there's more learning than I feel like is in the literature, but I'm not sure where to find the other stuff.
Okay. First of all, I just want to agree with what you've said. And especially, you know, when you make the observation that it's, a lot of it's cognitively focused, I agree. And I think you're quite right when you say that learning is about more than, you know, the cognitive focus. It is about all of these other things. I look at people who are actually practitioners, and I look at practitioners because they can't work simply in the realm of theory. So, and over time, I've cultivated a bunch of people that I listen to in this regard. People like George Siemens, Darcy Norman, Brian Lamb, Jim Groom, Dave Cormier, Bonnie Stewart, etc. There's a whole list, and you see it's the cast of characters in my newsletter. Basically, these are.
I don't know who those people are. Is there like a list on your website about them, or can I write them down?
You can write them down. I don't know if there's a list. I could produce one.
I just got my notepad up. Either you can tell me right now and I can write them, or you can email it.
Okay, so can you write fast?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Scott Leslie.
Scott Leslie.
Yeah, Brian Lamb.
Brian Lamb.
Jim Groom.
Jim Green?
Groom, G-R-O-O-M. Don't miss him.
Got it.
Dave Cormier.
What was the first name?
Dave.
Billy Cormier.
Dave Cormier, as in David. I'm losing track of who I've said. George Siemens. Bonnie Stewart, Stewart.
Okay.
Martin Weller, Weller. Who else? My mind is blanking on me now. I'm trying too deliberately to remember these people. David Porter, Porter.
I think I've heard of him, but it's a pretty common name too, I guess.
Yeah, no, you've probably heard of him. It's,
I really like the idea of going for practitioners, not just theorists. Because I think that's what I've been doing. I've been going for theorists.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing with practitioners and learners is they never call themselves that.
I know.
Like, they're just people who are in a field and they're just learning. I mean, and that's why, like, in the book that I'm writing, in the first chapter, I mentioned, like, Michael Faraday and just other people who learn. And, of course, you know, you can't, like, derive, like, the lessons of...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, from my own process, from my own life, whatever. I feel like people like Michael Faraday and others, like they just really kind of embody that. And so evoking them as like, hey, like, you know, here's a famous example that you're probably aware of, and let's break this down. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Empirically, you can just break down the life of Michael Faraday and get like a number of lessons, but there's some intuitions which life illustrates.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's probably an error to look at even a body of researchers and try to extract general principles. I mean, I don't think there are general principles. And
yeah, of course. And the whole point is that you have to kind of figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
Here's some pointers that might be useful, but you'll ultimately have to experiment with it all.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you might find pointers, you might find tips and tricks, you'll certainly find resources, but it's more it's more like a family resemblance than a rule or a principle, right? Family resemblance in the sense that all these practices kind of look the same, but there's no specific defining characteristic that makes them the same.
But you'll
see that, oh yeah, you know, and you learn to recognize, oh yeah, this is one of those. Oh, this is someone who graduated from college and decided to write books, and this is the topic they picked, and they went out and did some research with no real experience in the field. And there's a lot of those. Right? And the trick is to distinguish. But it really is a matter of recognizing one from the other. And you can tell just in the way they describe what they're doing and what their experiences are, etc. Do they have a grounding in practice, or are they thinking off the top of their head? See, what you're describing is constructivism, right? And constructivism is the idea that in order to learn, it is either useful or necessary, depending on which flavor, to construct or create what you're calling here a framework, or it might be a model or a representation. There are different ways of expressing it. And I think that's a useful tool. I don't see it as essential. You don't have to create a model of the world in order to understand the world. Or alternatively, another way of looking at it, you can actually work with multiple models of the world. You can, and it's especially important when looking at other people to look at them not specifically from the perspective of your own model of the world, but rather to be trying to ask, do they have a model of the world? If so, what is it? Why are they framing things that way? It's like what George Lakoff would describe as frames, right? It's a world view, it's a way of speaking, but it might not necessarily be a cognitive model. There should be a lot of looseness in that idea. And constructivism makes it the core of learning, and I disagree with that.
Right. One quick question. So, when I hear the word constructivism, I think of in international affairs / political science, there's realism, constructivism, idealism. Constructivism is it's been years since I did this. It started off in that famous article, "The world is what you make of it." Is this related to that, or is this a whole different pedagogical theory?
No, there's basically the same idea. I'm just going to look up that article because I'm not.
Another question is, are there communities or events where if I wanted to just be with people who talked about this stuff? Who kind of nerdily talk about it and they just have ideas, and there's an environment in which people actually talk about the, I guess you could comfortable learning. Other than the communities, or, you know, like meetups or WhatsApp groups or email chains or anything like that out there.
You're asking, are there groups like that where... I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question.
If I just wanted to surround myself by people who think about these questions all the time, so I could just learn faster, are there communities or groups that do that?
Maybe on Facebook. I don't use Facebook anymore, so... it's really fragmented now. It used to be a lot less fragmented. A lot of the discussion is happening on social media. Twitter has attracted a lot of people in this field. All of these people that I listed are on Twitter, and they interact with each other in an amorphous sort of way. There are some lists that I follow. The JISC lists, J-I-S-C, in Britain, are pretty good.
J-I-S-C.
J-I-S-C, as in cat. Joint Information Subcommittee, I think is what it stands for. Or Standards Committee. but that's a list of ed tech practitioners in Britain. Very good list. You should look, various conferences attract a lot of these people. The open education conferences in the U.S. and Europe attract a lot of them.
Okay, I didn't even know about that one. I'm going to the Aspen Institute as the program on, it's kind of like open education between the U.S. and the Middle East. I'm going to their conference next week.
Who's
I didn't know that there was another one.
Oh, geez, yeah, no, there's many. which one are you going to? Aspen Institute?
Here in Washington, D.C., there's Aspen Institute, and they have these initiatives to support education. So they just have, D.C. is full of these things. So I'm just going to, like, a Washington, D.C. event next week. The Atlantic Forum had one last week. It was just generally education, but, you know, as you well know, education is not the same thing as learning. A lot of education
They
end up just boiling down to, teacher union.
You're being drawn into the policy blogging cesspool. I'm sorry, but that's what it is.
I'm just like, if you're a student and you're like, oh, I want to understand how education works, and you listen to it, it would just be irrelevant and depressing, you know?
I follow some of those people sort of on the fringes, but. Yeah, no, it's a cesspool. It really, really is a cesspool. It's all political. It's all policy-driven. And it's really U.S.-focused. And it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the actual practice of teaching and learning. Or education.
You know, like, in political science, political theory, there's a great political theorist at Yale named Ian Shapiro. And he has a book on Method Zero back in 2005.
I've read Shapiro.
I read this book maybe myself like 4 or 5 years ago, and like this one sentence was so funny and interesting that I still remember it years later. He was like, political science has devolved into academics talking and critiquing the thoughts and methods of other academics.
Yeah.
As if they themselves were objects of study.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. It's not just political science. It's not just political science. I just read an article in New, NOUS, about how philosophers are doing the same thing.
And I think a lot of it is just because some of these fields are very saturated, so people are really, like, you know, they're really just drawing straws to figure out, like, what they could possibly write about and publish and
get tenure. Yeah. Yeah, I should write a book, but who has time? That's mostly the way it is, at least in my part of the world. Like, all of these people that I've talked about could easily write books and should, but, you know, who has time? And why would you do that? Because, I mean, again, they're writing every day. They're all doing this. They're writing every day. They're working every day. They're communicating with each other. They're basically embedded in practice.
Yeah. Old or anything, but you never know when you'll die.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, if I were to leave her one thing, it would be like everything I've learned about how to learn.
Yeah.
And so I'm just writing it for an audience of one, and if it's good enough, hopefully it'll get published and other people will find it useful too.
Yep.
It's a motivation and it's pretty strong.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see it. Yep, no problem. That's what I do.
Okay, cool. I really appreciate that. Is there anything else based on this conversation you think I should be thinking about that I might not be already?
Follow up these people. Look for the blogs and things like that. You know, look. The thing I see so often is people don't go into what they call the gray literature. And the gray literature is where these ideas are always developed. By the time it reaches academic literature, much less books, it's years old, it's been flaked and formed, and it's not the real thing anymore.
Okay, and what's the example of gray literature?
Gray, G-R-E-Y. It's just a generic term.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yeah. And, you know, some of the best stuff will be in fields that have nothing to do, like, you know, nobody will call this, like, anything of learning, because they're just people who are figuring out how to do policy, how to do science, or how to build, you know, like, an urban planning. Like, for example, you know, like, Dave Jacobs, the famous urban planner.
Yeah.
Like, how did she go from being random neighborhoods, you know, lady, to being, like, you know, one of the founding thinkers of modern urban planning? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
And,
well, that's a good question, yeah. And again, there won't be a rule or principle. It'll be a family resemblance. That's really key. Understanding, if you extract nothing else from all of this, it's that. Like if you're going in there looking for, you know, five easy steps or what all of these people have in common, you're going in looking for the wrong thing.
Find similarities, and I propose them as, you know, principles for the future. And, you know, my actual craft, like, my actual thing is national security, and, you know, my subspecialty within that was, is post-war reconstruction. And, I mean, every policy person in that field should know that the biggest mistake, you know, we made with, for example, the Iraq War was denazification, because we made a ridiculous analogy with denazification in Germany, and it's just... you can't, like, derive lessons like that and just apply it. Like, everything is intuition. Nothing is really conclusive. You know, Karl Popper, the great empiricist, even would say that. You know, I think, like, post-Aristotle, the point of epistemology was to find justified true belief. Then with Karl Popper, it was, like, unjustified untrue unbelief. It's like, you're not relativist. You're still drawing conclusions, so you can still be strong at them. But at the same time, those conclusions are... tentative, because you might always get new data, or there might be a new condition, which changes the applicability of it. Plus, things don't really translate. And so, you know, I mean, I definitely believe that humility is one of the foundational intellectual virtues.
One book you might enjoy, given some of the sources you've been citing, is Paul Feyerabend, Against Method, Feyerabend. Yeah. It's not a heavy read, so, it's a nice evening, but it's different, and it's different in some really important ways.
Yeah,
Cool.
Cool. Well, I appreciate the call once again.
Okay, no problem. Talk to you again.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.